So how do you force a deeply entrenched, legally rigid government bureaucracy to just modernize overnight?
Yeah, that's the big question.
Right. Today's deep dive into the Western Cape Provincial Parliament's 2020 to 2025 revised strategic plan answers exactly that. We are pulling directly from their official strategy documents.
And it is a fascinating read.
It really is. Our mission today is to explore how a parliament literally went virtual during a global crisis and, well, how those lessons apply to any organization you might be a part of that's facing sudden disruption.
Because a parliament isn't just a standard business, right? I mean, it's this intricate clockwork of constitutional laws and procedural rules.
Right, you can't just flip a switch.
Exactly. You can't just swap out a gear or move to remote work without essentially rewriting the operating manual for democracy. They had to pass laws and conduct oversight.
Without a physical chamber.
Yeah, without the actual building.
It's like trying to turn a giant, slow-moving cruise ship on a dime. The pandemic hits, and this traditionally paper-heavy institution is just locked out of its own building.
So they had to pivot instantly.
Right. The strategy outlines their immediate shifts to Microsoft Teams for virtual sessions, deploying VPNs to staff, and, this is interesting, restructuring their cellular phone and mobile internet policies.
Oh, to compensate employees.
Exactly. So the staff were actually compensated for the data they used to keep the government running from their living rooms.
What really stands out in the plan is the rapid deployment of their COVID-19 task team and this risk-adjusted strategy they put together.
Because it wasn't just about setting up webcams, I assume.
No, not at all. They had to establish secure, legally binding ways to vote and debate entirely outside the legislative chamber.
But wait, a lot of corporations did that remote pivot in 2020, and then they snapped right back to the physical office the second mandates lifted.
Yeah, people love the physical office.
Right. So were these just temporary band-aids to survive 2020, or actual permanent changes to how laws are made?
Well, the strategic plan explicitly rejects the band-aid approach. They use the disruption to establish a permanent new normal.
Oh, really?
Yeah. By committing to a digital-first approach to stabilize their internal functions, they codified these remote procedures into their permanent framework. It wasn't just a stopgap measure for them.
Okay, so they solved the physical barrier with Teams and VPNs. But, I mean, a digital chamber is useless if the lawmakers don't have the information to argue their points.
Right, you can't debate in a vacuum.
Exactly. So how did they route research to members trapped at home without access to the physical parliamentary library?
They basically put a global academic library on everyone's kitchen table.
Wow, how does that work?
The WCPP granted members and staff unlimited online access to JSTOR.
Oh, the academic database?
Yep, opening up over 10 million peer-reviewed articles, along with specialized portals like African cultural heritage sites and landscapes.
So instead of relying on a physical library or waiting for briefings, you suddenly have politicians armed with global peer-reviewed academic research right at their kitchen tables. But does this change the quality of the debates? I'd imagine throwing 10 million academic articles at politicians just results in massive information overload.
You'd think so, but that's where their knowledge management strategy comes in. Mechanistically, it completely levels the playing field.
How do you mean?
Well, instead of relying entirely on scheduled physical briefings from committees, a member can pull up peer-reviewed data on regional economics or, say, public health in real time during a virtual debate.
Oh, I see.
The irony here is that moving away from the physical building actually democratized information access among the lawmakers themselves. It rooted their arguments in hard, accessible global data.
That makes a lot of sense. But giving politicians better data is one thing. A parliament's core duty is to the people.
Right, the public mandate.
Yeah. How do you maintain a democracy when physical town halls are banned? If the parliament moves its engagement to digital platforms, is there a risk they alienate the very people who don't have reliable internet access?
That is a huge red flag, and the plan addresses that digital divide head-on. They actually shifted their focus from one-way public education to two-way public engagement.
So more of a dialogue.
Exactly. They pushed heavily into social media, digital platforms, and built a comprehensive stakeholder database to track citizen input.
But what about the people without internet?
Right. To prevent digital exclusion, they built a hybrid model. They leaned on strategic partnerships and deployed community development workers directly on the ground.
Oh, so they kept a physical footprint even while the parliament went virtual.
Precisely. These workers acted as physical conduits for the digital parliament, ensuring that constituents in remote or under-resourced areas could still feed their input into that centralized digital database.
That is a massive structural evolution. The WCPP basically took the ultimate global disruption and used it to reconstruct their daily operations.
They really did.
Building a digitally integrated, research-driven institution that balanced virtual lawmaking with hybrid public engagement.
It proves that even the most deeply entrenched, constitutionally bound systems can fundamentally rewrite how they operate when the core mission demands it.
So true. So I'll leave you with this final thought to ponder. If a massive government entity can completely overhaul its technological culture and workflows in a matter of months, what invisible rules in your own workplace or industry are just waiting to be broken?